Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the transfiguration of our Lord comes from our gospel reading of Mark. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Thus far the text. Up the mountain and down back again, barely a full day's journey to see a sight that had never been seen before. And what a glorious sight it must have been, dazzling robes, radiant, intensely white, whiter than any master fuller could have ever bleached them. This was a white devoid of any darkness, a heavenly white. It was a pure light, shining from the light of the world in a way that blinded the seer without taking away his ability to see. This was the radiance that had to be kept away from the likes of Moses when his face was pressed firmly into the rocks as God strode by. This was the light that shone out in creation, out of that darkness, as our epistle says, with the first four words coming on that first full day. This was the light that all of us sinners desires to see, but certainly we can never see it. But I do want to see that light, that bright, white, bleachy light. I want to see it more than anything else in the whole entire world, because it isn't of this world. This is a radiance too radiant for the likes of this fallen place. A light like this can never be seen this side of heaven. It's always going to have some shadow dimming it just slightly, if not actually fully. It's always going to have some sort of darkness darkening it so that the glimmering gleam of the heavenly glory is washed away. This is a light that I will never see, at least not on this side of death. But Peter, he got a glimpse of it. So did James and John. And Peter says what any of us actually would have said: "It's good for us to be here, Jesus." Sure. Of course it's good to be there, up and away from all of the fallenness of this sinful and ugly world down here, apart from the mountain. Who wouldn't want to be up there? Who wouldn't want to just build a couple of tents and remain there forever, free from sin and pain and suffering and death? Peter, he doesn't say anything anyone else wouldn't say. He just doesn't have the filter that most of us do. His lips usually speak the very first thing that's on his mind without waiting for just a split second to figure out if he should actually say it or not. But thank God for Peter. He's more bold than I could ever be. Except Peter speaks these words because he doesn't really know what to say. And he hasn't thought them out. Instead, he's just blurted out the first thing that's come to mind to fill the void of that terrifying scene. He's kind of like a child that pretends to be brave in the middle of a scary movie because he doesn't want everyone to know how terrified he actually is. "Let's just stay up here, Lord. It's so very good to be up here. Obviously, it's better to be up here and not down there. So why go down there ever again? It's perfect up here, Lord. Your glory is so wondrous. But would you mind if I built you a tent? You could climb on inside, and your glory could shine forth from in there, because truth be told, your glory is just a little bit too glorious for me. I can't stand to look at you, Jesus. The light that radiates from your clothes and from your face, it hurts my eyes. I know that I should revel in it, but I can't. It's actually scary. And scary isn't even the right word. It's frightening. On the one hand, I know that I shouldn't be terrified. But on the other hand, I know that I must be terrified. There's something within me that screams, 'Peter, hide your face. You shouldn't be seeing this.' So let's just build you a tent. We don't have to go back down the mountain, but I can't stand here in your radiance very much longer. Now, I want to see this transfigured Jesus, probably as much as any of you. I want to see the glory that is far and above any glory. I want to see that whitest white, the lightest light, the gloriest glory. But better that I don't. Better if Jesus keeps all of that hidden away, at least right now, because I wouldn't be able to stand it. In fact, I would die. These sinful eyes of mine aren't prepared to see such a thing, although they may want to, although they probably wouldn't be able to look away if it was right there in front of me. They certainly know that they would be staring upon something far too glorious, far too heavenly, far too good. And so instead of setting my eyes upon the very thing that I actually should, I would rather cover up that thing that my eyes can't look upon. Jesus, he wants us to focus on a different sort of glory. The Father does too. Even today, the Heavenly Father's voice booms out from Scripture to us. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Those words are for us as much as they are for Peter. Because we all like the transfiguration. We all like that heavenly glory stuff. We all love the perfectly perfect, even if we can't for the life of us stomach it. So instead of listening to Jesus, we would much rather prefer him to just listen to us. Let's just cover you up, just a little bit, Jesus. All of that heavenly radiance stuff is giving me a migraine. How about we just shove you up in a tent? You can still be here. Your light and your glory and your perfectly perfect, it can all be right here. We'll just take the edge off of it a little bit. Make it a little more palpable, a little more to our liking, a little easier for us to deal with. Isn't that the way of the sinner? Knowing that the sin that we have covers us from head to toe, we would rather not actually deal with the sin itself that makes it impossible for us to be in this heavenly glory of God. Much better we just diminish the perfectly good glory of God. Just a smidge. Just turn down the light a few notches. Just make that white more of an ecru or an eggshell. It's still glorious. The light's still enough. It still passes for white. It's just not so darn perfect. But God isn't going to be kept inside of a tent for the rest of his days. He isn't going to make his glory less glorious just so that we can stand in his presence. That's not how God works. In truth, he couldn't do this if he tried. Because God can't do something that's contrary to his nature. And his nature is the godliest glory. It's the goodliest good. It's the perfectest perfect. There will be a day, yes, most certainly, in which we will stand in that perfect radiance of Jesus our Lord and our God. There will be a day when all of the filters are done away with, and we will stand there before Jesus in his heavenly glory. And on that day, we must be made ready to stand there, for the glory of God will not be hidden. So in order for us to stand there, something must be done. Not about God's glory, but about the fact that we can't stand it. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. These are the words that are spoken from heaven, echoed from Jesus' baptism when he is anointed as the Messiah, the Christ of the whole entire world. And then, after those words are spoken, there's nothing. There's nothing and no one but Jesus only. The radiance is gone. Hidden away once again so that Peter and James and John wouldn't die in their sinful flesh. The heavenly glory is tucked up behind a veil of human flesh and blood. That glory is now gone. You don't have to look at it anymore with fear and trepidation and complete terror, Jesus says, but let's come on down from this mountain. I have a different sort of glory that I want you to see. And Jesus, he's talked about this different sort of glory before. In fact, he did so just 6 days prior to this transfiguration moment. That was the time when he called Peter Satan. Because Peter didn't have in mind the things of God, but just the things of man. Peter had his eyes on a different sort of glory. Not the one that Jesus was actually preparing for, but the sort of glory that would see God's heavenly glory tucked away inside of a tent. Peter wanted to see Jesus ride majestically into Jerusalem on one of those glorious white steeds. Wanted to see Jesus like a conquering king who would overthrow the likes of Caesar and Herod. Peter didn't want to see Jesus coming on a silly little donkey. He didn't want to see Jesus stripped naked and flogged with scorn. He didn't want to see him strung up on a cross, gasping for breath like some weak, inglorious nothing. Peter didn't want to see this Jesus, his ultimate glory. He wanted a glory of his own making. And we're so similar to Peter. It's almost as if we're made up of the same sinful stuff that he was. For the sinner within doesn't want to have to deal with sin. To have sin covered and taken away, sin forgiven. The sinner would much rather that sin just be forgotten about, not taken seriously, pretended that it doesn't really matter. The sinner just wants God to hide his glory away forever so that the sin can still remain there and we can stand in the heavenly glory, except it's not really the heavenly glory, not the true heavenly glory. That's a glory shoved inside of a tent, covered up, diminished just enough so that we can stand there and not be terrified because of our sin. Change yourself, God. Change your word, change your law. Just enough so that we sinners will be all right. But maybe we should just take the advice of that booming voice coming down from heaven. Maybe we should go ahead and listen to this Jesus, because it seems as if he has a better way to deal with this sinful situation that we find ourselves in. Maybe we should stop listening to ourselves and our own ingenious ways that we've devised to deal with our own sin. Perhaps we should just shut up and listen to Jesus. So there he is. There Jesus stands on that mountain with Peter and James and John, and he says, "All right, boys, let's pack it up. Peter, stop looking around for those tents that you want to build. I'm not going to need them. It's time to come on down from this godly mountain." And yes, we all will make our way someday up a godly mountain again, but not right now. Not for quite a long time. First, I have to go back down to the valley, back down to this place of suffering and shame and sin, this place that you don't want to be a part of. Because that's why I came. Not to hang out up here, away from all of that sin, pretending that it isn't real, but instead to grab it all up and take it to the only place, the one and only place that I can eternally deal with it. And so with the sin of the world in tow, the sin that he himself washed himself with at his baptism, Jesus makes his way down from that Mount of Transfiguration. He's off to a different mountain, a more shameful one, one that's going to be covered in darkness in the middle of the day. Jesus, he makes his way down to Calvary. And in a certain way, we too are going to travel that road with him as we begin our Lenten journey to the cross. And along the way, over these 40 days and then into Holy Week, we're going to listen to the Son of God, just like the Father told us. And we're going to hear about how he's going to deal with that sin of ours that doesn't allow us up on that godly mountain. We're going to hear about sin forgiven and a sacrifice made and blood spilt and God's wrath quenched and death killed. We're going to hear about absolution proclaimed and baptismal washings and suppers prepared. We're going to hear about a different sort, a different type of glory. It's going to be a sacrificial one, an ugly one, a weak and foolish and bloody one. It's going to be a crossly glory, For that's the only type of glory that matters for the sinner. That's the only type of glory that Jesus ever really truly wants to show us, this side of heaven. That's the only type of glory that's going to take care of this sin that plagues us and keeps us away from His heavenly glory. So we've got two mountains, the Mount of Transfiguration and the Mount of Calvary. And one of those mountains is far, far better for the sinner. And I think you know which one. In the name of Jesus.